This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. Look for their newest line, Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm Linda Liu, and on the line is my co-host in Hong Kong, Iris Van Kerkhove.
Good morning from Hong Kong. I forgot how hard it is to wake up this early.
We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, Iris and I dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic.
So we just had a one-month summer break in between seasons, but it's great to be back, especially because I get to talk to my co-host and BFF on a weekly basis again.
Aww.
So Linda, what did you get up to since our last episode?
So I did a lot of traveling, actually. I just came back from the Canadian Rockies.
Canada.
Yeah, I went hiking in Banff National Park, and that was really epic. And I also...
The pictures looked amazing.
Yeah, everyone check out my Instagram. It's at Linda Says, Linda with a Y, by the way. I also caught the total eclipse of the sun in Tennessee. And that was just, yeah, I guess like... another amazing thing to check off my bucket list. What about you, Iris? What have you been up to?
That's amazing. Now I'm embarrassed to say what I did because it was definitely not as epic as your break. But we did get a week off at the restaurant, so it was a true vacation. Though during that week, we had a hurricane and a regular typhoon.
No way.
So it was just like a nice excuse to stay at home and, like, lie in bed and watch Netflix. So I personally really enjoyed that. And it was also the season finale of, well, the overall finale of Twin Peaks. And as
I'm
a huge Twin Peaks fan. So just spent a lot of time enjoying that, reading fan fictions, geeking out. Yeah, it was a good break.
Good. That's what a break should be.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. But anyway, back to today's show. We're starting the season strong, talking about one of our favorite things, and that is breakfast.
Yeah. So it's another installment of our hashtag FMW Asian Breakfast Series. And we're really excited to be talking about what Filipino breakfast looks like.
If you haven't checked out episode 8 with Leah Cohen of Pick and Cow, where we talk about whether or not Filipino cuisine has quote-unquote arrived, I highly recommend you go listen to it after this. But I'm really glad we get to do our second episode on Filipino cuisine, which is starting to get more love in North America, but is still underrepresented. As mentioned in episode 8, Philippine cuisine reflects the history and diversity of the country and has a lot of different cultural influences. But for the most part, the foundation of the cuisine is based on the combination of sweet, sour, and salty, and has a reputation of being rather meat-heavy, especially with pork. I tried to do some primary research for this episode and go try Filipino breakfast here in Hong Kong, but for a city with such a big Filipino population, it's actually pretty hard to find breakfast here.
Really?
I asked a lot of my friends, where I could get it, and they're like, I don't know, Jollibee? We just have it at home. But I did manage to try one breakfast dish, and that was tapsilog, which is marinated beef, egg, and fried rice. And what I realized was that Philippine cuisine, the fact that it's quite meat-heavy and has this Western influence, might actually be a good thing for breakfast in terms of appealing to the Western palate. So there is fish for breakfast as well. Eggs with beef, sausage, or spam is going to look a little bit more familiar to Westerners than some of the other Asian breakfasts we've discussed so far, like Thai, Japanese, or dim sum. But our special guest today can talk a little bit more about Filipino breakfast and whether or not he would agree with that.
Yeah. So to explain Filipino breakfast is Jordan Andino, who is here in the studio with us today. Jordan is the chef and owner of Second City. It's a Filipino taqueria in the West Village that draws inspirations from Jordan's grandmother's traditional recipes, yet introduces New Yorkers to a contemporary take of Filipino cuisine. Before opening his own place, Jordan has worked at acclaimed restaurants like the French Laundry, Jean Georges, and he was featured as one of Zagat's 30 hottest chefs under 30 in 2016. He's flashing a beautiful smile at me right now. And he will debut as host of a brand new TV show on the Food Network this fall. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
So please tell us about yourself. How did you end up where you are now?
Ooh, that's a long story. But I mean, I guess I could start with my upbringing was influenced by my grandmother and my dad. You know, my dad is a chef.
And they're from the Philippines?
They are from the Philippines. My dad and my mom separately moved to the Philippines, or from the Philippines to here, emigrated when they were around like 11, 12 years old. And then they happened to just move to the same area and met, and thus I was created. And you know, my dad's a chef. He's been a chef for his whole life, even till now. And my grandmother is kind of the palate and the soul of both his cooking and mine. So whenever we make something, we're like, is it as good as Lola? Lola is my grandmother.
Aww.
And we always ask that question. And whenever we make something, it's, is it as good as Lola's? And that's been our goal. And really, her food is that good that if we can say that it is as good, if not better, then that's when we know that everyone else really loves that food. So I grew up with that kind of palate and that kind of influence in my life. And I really just ran with it. My mom went to go pursue acting and modeling in LA. Ooh. So I went with her to LA, and then my dad was in Toronto. And so every summer and winter, instead of going to camp, instead of having fun and going to the beach and doing whatever young kids do, I would go back from LA to Toronto and then cook with my dad.
Oh, wow.
And that ended up being my upbringing, my foundation in kitchens. I was 9 years old, and I made an apple crostata with cinnamon ice cream, vanilla cookie swirl, and caramel. And I made every single element of that dish. And I put that out to paying customers.
Oh, my gosh.
At a restaurant called North 44 in Toronto, right on Yonge Street and by Eglinton. And it's still there. And that's really where I got my start. So I started from swatting flies, washing dishes.
Like, you always knew you were going to be in food, or
I didn't always know. Yeah. I just did it because my dad was like, my dad's a chef. And what else can you do when your dad's a chef? You just have to follow his orders. So I just did whatever he asked. And then eventually I was like, this is kind of fun. I excelled. And then my dad, I'll never forget this. I was 12 years old, and he brings me aside. He points to everyone in the kitchen, but I'm outside and they can't hear me. He goes, you see all of them? They are not as good as you. And they are between 20 and 30 years old, and you're 12, and you are already a better cook than they all are.
Aww.
And I was like, and my dad is a very stoic and, you know, stern,
like,
father.
Right. Strict Asian.
Yeah.
Parent,
he's that Asian parent. You know what I mean? And I'm like, ooh, that's some serious. Can I swear on here? No.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's some serious shit. And
H-I-T.
And so I'm like, ooh, damn. I'm like, dang. All right. Well, all right. So that's when I really realized I'm going to take this and run with it. And that's kind of how I got my start with my dad. Then I ended up kind of pursuing that every summer. And then I worked at Jean Georges. Then I worked at Spago. Then I worked at the French Laundry. And then I went to Cornell. So, you know, it kind of just all compounded. And I used my past experience to get me to the next level.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also, did I see a picture of you like posing on some like cookbook cover as a child?
Yeah. No,
I found
that.
You did.
And the craziest part about that is because my mom was a model, you know, she tried to get me into it as well. So I did dabble in that.
You're like feet in both worlds.
Yeah, you know, I dabbled in modeling a bit from like 8 or 9 all the way up to like 22. And not all the time, just kind of like as it came. And yeah, and one of the things that I happened just coincidentally to model for was a cover of a cookbook. And it was incredible.
How funny.
My big adult teeth in my 11-year-old body with like the darkest skin and the whitest chiclet teeth. And I'm just like,
oh my God. Okay. We're going to have to link to this photo in the show notes later.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, please.
So also tell us about Second City. What's the concept there and what does the name Second City mean?
Okay. So Second City came from my two partners and I wanted to name it something after me and my cuisine and my culture. So we wanted to name it Cebu City, but no one really knew how to pronounce Cebu. When you see it, C-E-B-U.
Yeah, and what does Cebu mean?
People are like Cebu, Cebu, and we're just like, it's actually the second largest city in the Philippines. So second largest city in the Philippines, bam. One of my partners from Chicago, the second city. I'm from Toronto, like the second largest, you know, so it's like, so there's a big tie in there. And so we're like, oh, that's a perfect way. Second City, everyone knows it. It's such an easy name to remember. And you know what? Even after a year, we realized, we're like, I think we should accept Filipino culture even more because we didn't know how much the New York populace would actually like it. Mm-hmm. And we've been received quite well. So at this point, we're going to even rebrand it further and go a little more Filipino. And we're going to call it Flip Siggy. So with the new restaurant that's opening tomorrow.
Oh, what? Congrats. Yeah,
thank you. I just came from it, actually. With a new restaurant that's opening tomorrow. And then also, I'm going to rebrand the one in the West Village. We're going to name it Flip Siggy, which literally means flip, which is like Filipino, mm-hmm. like a slang name for Filipino. And then Siggy, which means go. So it literally means go Filipino.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's a great explanation. And really catchy. Like also a song name, maybe.
Yeah, right? And so, you know, the concept, it's a Filipino taqueria, Filipino food in Mexican vessels, sandwiches, tacos, bowls, burritos, with a little bit of Filipino love sprinkled all about. Mm-hmm. And it's just the introduction to Filipino food. If there was a book on Filipino food and culture, this is the prologue. Oh. You know, this is not even the first chapter.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I think, wait, there was another question there.
Where is the new restaurant located?
Oh, so the new restaurant will be located on 91st and 2nd Avenue, opening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's in similar vein. It's a little small, tight, intimate. My mom, my uncle, and my cousin all did the graffiti on the wall. And it's just a fun, awesome place that people can kick back, have dope food, and just, you know, really be themselves.
That's so great. So since we're talking about breakfast today, tell us what you grew up eating for breakfast.
Ooh, okay. So there's three things that I grew up eating. One is spam eggs and rice. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, that's like my jam. We're Asian. Let's be real. And we love spam. And so that was just incredible. And it was just, you know, I just grew up, I never knew, understood what it was. It came from a can. I was like, I don't know, but this is mm-hmm. banging. So love that. Other one, bacon, eggs and rice. Mm-hmm. And I guess an in-betweener of the two was longanisa eggs and rice. Mm. Notice eggs and rice is the theme here for breakfast. And, you know, the bacon, obviously, but longanisa is a sweet barbecue Filipino sausage like type flavor. It can also be spicy. And those are the three things that my family would cook. Mm-hmm. But we also had this thing called inanunan, which is a Visayan kind of southern, a little more southern in the Philippines, like central southern vinegar fish dish that you eat room temperature. And the vinegar kind of holds it and keeps it, you know, fresh or good at least. And you use that kind of sabao and that sauce on the bottom and with the meat of the fish. And you put it all on the rice and adds like this awesome element, fishy umami flavor that you get. And then coupled with the bacon and the fattiness or the longanisa, it cuts through all that fat. And it's just, I grew up on this food and I'm just like, wow, this is, these flavors are just incredible. And you crave it. You can't wait to wake up because you're like, oh, I get that in the morning, you know, and maybe it's Asian cultures in general, because especially in, you know, dim sum and obviously, you know, with inanunan and longanisa and whatever, you know, I found in the Western cultures a lot, people don't want to eat too heavy. And like, they're just like, oh, I'll have a light breakfast with the yogurt and granola.
Right.
And I'm just like,
continental breakfast.
Yeah. I'm like, chill on that. I want rice, eggs, hot sauce, oyster sauce, and fish all now, you know?
And why is that? Why do you think like Filipino breakfasts tend to have a heavier meal? Is it like, you know, get you started for the day? You're ready to like face everything after that like big meal?
I think it's a good question. And this is really just a guess.
Yeah.
But I figure, you know, Filipinos are in general, you know, manual laborers and hard workers. you know, overall. And so maybe that's the kind of foundation that you need in order to literally have your energy throughout the day, because maybe you're not going to get a meal like that after you leave and you're on work. So my guess is you start with that, start with such a hearty meal that sets you up for the foundation for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Stuff your face. Be safe.
Oh, with the best food.
Yeah. And you mentioned longanisa quite a bit. Is that like a sausage that's fairly native to Filipino cuisine? What is it? How is it made? How do you use it in your cooking?
So longanisa is a sweet barbecue Filipino sausage in flavor. Like, I wouldn't call it barbecue, like American barbecue, but it does have that kind of smoky, deep, almost burnt charred essence to it. And it definitely is sweet. You can have it spicy, but it still has that sweet element to it. And it's a sausage that's really ubiquitous. I use it in everything from burger patties to sausage links in my burritos. And longanisa it's hard to describe. I guess it's almost like the ground beef. Like what ground beef is to America is what longanisa is.
Right.
Like to the Philippines.
It's,
you know?
So it's that common.
Yeah, it's just that common. And you have this sweet element either by honey or by sugar and paprika that gives it that bright red color. And it's just an amazing balance of umami, fat, savory, but just with a nice sweet element to it.
Mm-hmm. So good. So you named some of your like favorite things to eat for breakfast. What are some other typical items eaten at a like Filipino table for breakfast?
You know, okay, here's the one thing. Unfortunately, I will have to admit that although I grew up in a Filipino household, I will definitely say I wasn't too close to being traditionally Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
So although I had longanisa, I had inanunan, I had spam, all eggs over rice. I had, here's a good one, cold leftovers. I'm sure a lot of Filipinos do that. They have like all the stuff that we had and like braised the night before, just barely heated up and just served over hot rice. So it ended up being like lukewarm.
That's a total Asian thing. Yeah, across the board.
Yeah. And so, you know, we had that, but like, I guess that's really the base of my, at least my breadth of my knowledge when it comes to Filipino breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to pretend like, you know, there's all these different things that I had there, but those were the things that I ate and that really gave that I'm still passionate about to this day.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, once you're like, say, out drinking, what's the perfect hangover cure? Like, what's the version that you would eat?
I mean, can I have a self? Is this time to do my selfless plug? Because
go ahead.
Because right now, I'm pretty sure that Second City, soon to be Flipsicky, has three things that are some of the best hangover cures in New York City, if not the East Coast. I have my Plan B burrito, which is a California breakfast burrito brought to New York. And it's funny because there's no good breakfast burritos in all of this state. So it's insane. It's three meats, ham, bacon, and longanisa, eggs, hash browns, avocado, salsa, and cheese, all wrapped up in love. It's served in a burrito. This is what you need for when you're hungover.
Mm-hmm.
This is breakfast, greasy breakfast in a burrito, and it's good flavor and it's balanced and it's just incredible. Now, so there's that. Then I have my DP burger, which stands for two patties and one burger. So that's what it stands for. I'm just gonna stick with that. And it's ground beef and longanisa in a patty with French fries, coleslaw, cheese, and a fried egg and avocado. Like what? Like these are the things that we serve.
You know, that's so funny. I went to Second City over the weekend, and those are the two things I got.
No way.
Yeah, and I had them for dinner. So,
but that's a beauty. You can see with my food, you can have it at all times in the night. But I definitely will say that people who participate in extracurricular activities, as well as drinking, would love to eat my food. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right. So we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. You put a lot of care and thought into what you eat. After all, you're a food radio listener. That thoughtfulness goes hand in paw with how you feed your pets. Purposeful pet food doesn't happen by accident.
Castor and Pollux scours the earth to carefully select the best organic and responsibly sourced ingredients. New Pristine from Castor and Pollux is the only complete line of pet food made with ingredients that are responsibly raised, caught, or grown. Feed your dog or cat the new standard, like grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, and vegetables grown without synthetic fertilizers or chemical pesticides. Pristine from Castor and Pollux. Purposeful pet food. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West, and in the studio we have Jordan and Dino with us. So we were just talking about some of his favorite Filipino breakfast foods, what he's serving at his restaurants. So we're talking about how you can eat all this stuff to cure your hangover, but what about like late night eats? How does this translate into late night eating?
Okay, here's the thing. When you eat and you get drunk, okay, when you get drunk and then want to eat, you have one of two options. You can be so drunk that you go to sleep, wake up, and you're like, I need some fucking greasy food right now. Or you can kind of curb that and try to break the hangover by eating before. So you're either preemptively having a hangover cure or you're reactively having a hangover cure.
Right. There's two teams here.
But they're all both working the same thing, cure your hangover. So the beauty about my food in general and really my palate is you can eat it both in the morning and specifically you could also eat it late night. And some of my late night eats, and yes, that's the name of my show coming up, is you know, I create this food so that people, it's crave-worthy. And when you typically crave this greasy food in the morning because you don't feel as guilty, and you also crave it at night when your inhibitions are masked with a shit ton of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And my food, especially in the Upper East Side now, when I'm going to be serving all the way up till 2 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, is meant so that you can get drunk, have fun, go out, and then go home. You know, you get home at 1:45, you're like, oh, man, that was a hell of a night. I want something greasy and amazing in my stomach. And you're like, oh shit, Second City's open. Let's get that Plan B Rito though. And now you have it. So this is
now you're set.
And now you're set. So, you know, my late night eats both at both restaurants is just something that I created because I want people to have this food and not feel guilty about eating it at any time of the day.
You're taking care of everyone.
Yeah, I'm a giver. I'm giving myself to you.
So,
in a sense, you're saying it's healthier to eat after drinking because then you're going to feel better in the morning, right?
Yes, that is correct. I wouldn't say healthier necessarily for your waistline, but it's definitely healthier
mentally,
for your hangover. I guarantee that shit helps. Guarantee it. I'm like Men's Warehouse in this bitch. You're going to like the way you eat. I guarantee it. Is that Men's Warehouse?
Your show has the same name,
yeah.
Late Night Eats, mm-hmm. And what do you talk about and what do you do on the show?
Okay, so in the essence of Late Night Eats, I get drunk and try the best drunk late night eats around Canada and the U.S.
What? This is a real thing? That's your job?
Yo.
What?
I'm not even joking. Like,
how do you pitch them?
Yeah, they pitched me. They're like, hey, Jordan, you want to get drunk and eat around the country of both Canada and the U.S.? I'm like,
this is
no.
A trick.
I'm like, no, this sounds terrible. I was like, am I getting fucking punked? Like, I was like, where the fuck is Ashton Kutcher? Did he make a comeback? So I'm like looking around. No, this is real. So late night eats, I go around 13 different cities and each city I try 3 restaurants and I have a drink or... 7 and I try the best food that they serve after 10 o'clock. So we could go from 10 all the way up till 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I try this amazing food that people eat and they crave when they're a little inebriated or mm-hmm. also high.
Cool. What are some of those cities that you go to?
I can quickly say all the cities because a lot of people have asked me that. You ready?
Okay. Can you sing it?
I can't sing it. Okay. Am I allowed to say it? Yeah, I was going to say it. All right. So I went to Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Pittsburgh, Providence, Portland, St. Louis, Nashville, Atlanta, Charleston, Tucson, Sacramento, and Oakland.
Amazing. Good job.
That was good, right? That was good. Yeah, that was pretty good. And I tried three restaurants in each city and I had 2 amazing bites at each place and a drink at every single place. And it was a party. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was also tough because I'm really active and fit, and I we did a weight a weight loss program. So like I started like episode one. I weighed myself at episode 13 and I gained 12 pounds and I was like, oh my God. And I was working out diligently. I was like, I was going out and I was like, all right, I'm running 9 miles today. And I've been running and I'm trying to have good breakfast. But listen, when you change your lifestyle like that and just eat and drink, you know, that's part of the repercussions.
Mm-hmm. Everything in moderation. Okay.
Yeah.
So noted.
I'm very black and white. So I don't, I don't live in the middle. It's either like yes or like zero or 100.
Yeah. Wow. So, well, what else are you up to? What's next for you? You have your show, you have your new restaurant. I mean, is your plate full?
You know, it's funny. It's not full enough with those two. So I have the restaurant in the West Village, Second City. That's been going for a year and a half and it's been doing really well. And then I have the new restaurant opening tomorrow, 91st and 2nd, Flip Siggy. And then I have the show airing September 28th on the Cooking Channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And so, you know, that's going to air nationally as well. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I have some things in the works. I'm going to be cooking for the New York Giants. I'm going to be at New York. Cool. Yeah. On September 18th, I'm going to be at the New York Wine and Food Festival. On October 14th, I'm going back to the Philippines for a trip. I have a King's Hawaiian Bread and Fox Sports endorsement coming up. I got some shit going down, but you know what?
Sounds like a great year.
I love it. I don't drink coffee and I don't take any stimulants. So this is just my natural ability. So I need something to fill all this energy up with.
Right,
you know?
The good food. So what do you think also, like what's next for Filipino food, Filipino breakfast? Do you feel like it's on the rise to mainstream popularity, say like with your help, with like a lot of the new restaurants opening up in the city. Do you think it's having a moment?
Yeah. I mean, I would go further, not just Filipino breakfast, you know, Filipino food last year, 2016, I'm pretty sure was the most trending cuisine of the year. And I feel
like this was reported somewhere.
I think that's actual science. That's fact right there. That's math. You can't argue with math. I feel that it's going to be the same again this year. It's just this, you know, Anthony Bourdain said it, but I was onto that shit way before you said it, son. And like, here's the thing. This was inevitable. You know, it's an amalgamation. Filipino cuisine is an amalgamation of so many different cuisines, specifically American, Spanish, and Southeastern Asian. So there's so many great flavors there that in each one of those have already been exploited and used and utilized and had their time in the limelight. So it only made sense that this was the next step because people
like this is the culmination of those specific types of cuisines.
You know, like Western culture is like, oh, they're like, oh, I've had American, I've had Spain, Spanish tapas and whatever. I've had Chinese. Now, what happens if you put those on the melting pot and press go?
They're like, hey, what? That exists.
And it exists. And that's Filipino cuisine. So I think what's next for Filipino cuisine? I think Filipino cuisine is just, you know, the momentum of that wave is only coming. It hasn't crested yet. And I think it's just going to crash down and really make a splash. And I hope Second City is the splash.
Awesome.
Flip Siggy is the splash.
Okay. So last question. When people talk about you and say your name in the industry, what would you like to be known for?
Oh, that's a good one. What? Okay. So, okay. Here's the thing. You specifically said industry, like my cohorts and, mm-hmm. you know, and the people in the industry.
Yeah. The food world.
Okay. Honestly, that's who I cook for. Mm-hmm. I don't cook to make.
That's right. Chefs are leaving restaurants real late.
Yeah. You know, I don't cook for money. I don't cook for fame or accolades or anything. You know, I truly am passionate about food. I got a fork and knife on my forearms here. And I cook for those people. I cook for my chefs and, you know, cooks who have worked for me or I've worked under or we've worked together. And when they come into my restaurant, the only thing I want them to say is, holy shit, man, you're doing something amazing. And I don't have to be innovative. I don't have to be the best. I just want them to recognize me and understand that, you know, I'm not just another face. I'm not just at times people would call me a cocky young little fuck.
Did they?
Yeah, many, oh, many.
Looking that up later, too.
Many, many. And so, you know, I'm someone who's super passionate about food and about life. And really nothing in the world gives me fervor and energy and drive and also happiness than when people are eating my food, specifically my fellow chefs and cooks, mm-hmm. when they're eating my food and they love it and they go back for seconds and thirds and they can't stop talking about it and they're the ones complimenting me. That gives me that's my fuel. And that's honestly what I strive for every day, is to make them, they're the ones that matter.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Of course.
Thank you.
That went
for listeners who want to learn more about you, your restaurants, or your new show, how should they stay in touch?
Okay, well, yeah. Honestly, the best way to do it right now would be through social media. So I would say follow me on Twitter and Instagram @fork_knife. Once again, that is @fork_knife spelled out. And then just Chef Jordan Andino on Facebook. And, you know, that's definitely the best way to kind of keep up with, you know, my daily goings. Also, that's where I make my announcements on my food, my specials, my restaurant openings, my TV show airing dates, my TV show appearances. I've been on Chop Cooks vs. Cons, Worst Cooks in America, and, you know, all that's still airing, coming out. And yeah, I would say that's the best way to do it.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in for our third season. If you're not subscribed, please make sure you do so on iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcast, so you won't miss our new episodes. We'll be back next week with more conversations from the world of Asian food.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.